Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's a delight to see everyone who's here. It's an especial delight to see our friends from the Methodist Church who are going to grace us with music this morning. So a few announcements. Our church council meeting is this afternoon at 2 o'clock. We're going to be done in plenty of time for people to watch the Super Bowl, right? Okay, glad to hear you're hearing that directly from a council member. All right, we're going to hold them to it because I have knitting to do. All right, there's a knit along / crochet along where they have clues that are distributed every 2 hours. So if it goes on too long, I'm not going to finish on time. So I'm going to hold you to that because I know there's this thing called the Super Bowl. And you can see we have boxes out for the Super Bowl. And if you have forgotten to bring your item for the food pantry, we'll have these boxes out next week. And for that matter, we usually have a box in the back to remind you that it's not just, say, in November that we need to think about our food pantry, but it's every month of the year. I've been told that the shelves are looking especially depleted right now. So if you have your items, I'm going to ask that you bring them sometime during the course of today. And if you've forgotten them, bring them next week so that we can give to the food pantry resources that they need in order to give to our community. And on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, we continue to study the purpose-driven life as our Bible study. So we're reading as we are meeting. There is no requirement that you do anything ahead of time. You just come, and we've had some wonderful discussions. We're now talking about spiritual gifts. So it's been an enlightening Bible study. I think we're getting a lot out of it. We'd love to have you join us. And at this time, I will invite the First United Methodist Choir to come forward and sing for us, Come Build a Church. It's such an appropriate song for today when we listen to call stories of Isaiah and of Peter and some of his companions. So please.
Well, I have a little speech here before.
Yeah, I think we're waiting for that one.
Yeah. Well, the composer of this piece, and the piece is called Come Build a Church, is Ken McGinnis. And he was a composer. But he was born almost blind. And he started playing the piano when he was 5 years old. And he is a wonderful, inspirational, of course. He has a degree in music from therapy from Michigan State. His lyrics generally provide social commentary on themes such as justice, hunger, poverty, homelessness, and Christian charity. The Lutheran Church Choir first sang this, either for the dedication of the edition or for Pastor Orley's installation. I'm not sure which one. But the installation was in 2001. Over the years, the Lutheran Choir has collaborated with, and the Bells, of course, have collaborated with the Methodist Choir many times. I've been cataloging the music in this room up here, and there's a lot of the envelopes, music envelopes, that say, with Methodist, such and such a group. So, we are here to share it with you and give you our thanks and dollars. So we're going to get back musically and we'll be doing it.
We gather in this place.
Because Lois, it's my understanding the church's birthday was last Tuesday, correct? So what a wonderful, wonderful song. So please stand as you're able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, our Creator, our Protector, our wellspring of life. Amen. Trusting that God receives our words and the meditations of our hearts, let us confess our sin. Merciful God, you speak blessing and compassion into the world. Forgive us for the ways we act with judgment, cruelty, or indifference. We ignore the needs of our neighbors. We resist your call to oppose injustice. We give in to scarcity and fear. We assume the worst about one another. Cleanse us from our faults and release us from their grasp. Show us your loving kindness. Restore our hearts and repair your world that we may live in Christ's ways. Amen. God proclaims these words of assurance. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. In Christ, you are forgiven. In the Spirit, you are made free. Refreshed by the waters of mercy, live anew as beloved children of God. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, You Have Come Down to the Lakeshore, number 817.
Thank you.
going to move one portion of our service to this part so that we can greet one another, and that will also allow you to go out more gracefully. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace. And as we talk about building up the church, next Sunday we have something special planned too. Not only do we have the bells playing, but we will be bringing three new members into the church, one baby and her parents. And we'll do that at the beginning of the service to allow the bells to be part of that and then to go their separate ways to their different churches. So you don't want to miss that, do you? So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Pray together. Most holy God, the earth is filled with your glory, and before you, angels and saints stand in awe. Enlarge our vision to see your power at work in the world, and by your grace, make us heralds of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 6. Through a vision in the temple, the 8th century prophet Isaiah is called by God to announce judgment against Israel. Aware of his sinfulness and shortcomings, Isaiah is initially hesitant, but when God calls, Isaiah responds, "Here I am, send me." In the year that King Ezra died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the minds of this people dull and stop their ears and shut their eyes so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears, but comprehend with their minds and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until the cities lie waste without inhabitant and the houses without people and the land is utterly desolate. Until the Lord sends everyone far away, and the vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains standing when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Join me in reading Psalm 138 responsively. "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name because of your steadfast love and faithfulness, for you have glorified your name and your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me.
All of the rulers of the earth will praise you, O Lord.
They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high and yet cares for the lowly, perceiving the haughty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies, and your right hand shall save me.
You will make good your promise to me. O Lord, your steadfast love endures forever.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul delivers in a nutshell the story of the gospel that was given to him. In the lineage of the Christian faith, we have received the good news of God's love from generations of believers before us, and we continue to tell this story to the world. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I have proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though I was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so we have come to believe. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that had been taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Last week we heard the call story of Jeremiah, and this week we begin with the call story of Isaiah. We're told that Isaiah is beginning his ministry in the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah has reigned for decades, and with his death, of course, there is trouble. So it is during a very troubled time that Isaiah has this vision of the throne of God, of the seraphim. A frightening sight. But he's told not to be afraid. He looks in awe at this sight. And of course says, "Woe is me, I'm lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." He's pretty much saying, "I'm not worthy. I am not worthy to be here. I'm not worthy to be in the presence of God." And one of the seraphs takes a coal, a burning coal from the altar, and touches it to Isaiah's lips and tells him, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt is departed, your sin is blotted out." And he hears a voice saying, "Whom shall I send?" And he says, "Here I am, send me." And then he's told to go and tell a message to the people, but that the people will not listen. They will not understand. They will not want to hear what Isaiah is supposed to be preaching. And if we continue to read in the book of Isaiah, we find that this is true. Isaiah preaches. He tells the people that if they do not turn from their evil ways and turn back to the Lord, they're going to be destroyed. The people don't listen, and they are taken captive. And you wonder, why? Why, God, do you send this prophet to proclaim a message that the people won't hear? And you know they won't hear, and he knows they won't hear. And then we have the call story of Peter and some of the other fisher folk who go with him. Once again, we have a miraculous story. We see that when God gives to us in abundance. But first, we have the questioning. Simon Peter and those with him are fishermen. They know their job. They've been doing it for a long time. And they have fished all night long and caught absolutely nothing. It's been a terrible night. And so they're there, mending their nets, cleaning their nets, waiting until the night comes again when they can go out fishing. And Jesus is coming to preach and to teach, and the crowds press in so much that he decides to have a floating pulpit. And so he gets into Simon Peter's boat, and he preaches. And so I can imagine Simon and the others listening to Jesus preach as they continue to work on their nets. And then after the teaching is completed, Jesus tells Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon Peter's response, "Master, we've worked all night long and caught nothing." And he could have said at that point, "And we know what we're doing, and you don't. We know our job. Who are you? You're not a fisherman. You have no idea what you're talking about. Go into the deep. That isn't necessarily where the fish are anyway. Sometimes the fish are closer to shore. And we're tired. We worked all night long and got nothing." But he doesn't. He probably sighs and says, "Yeah, if you say so. If you say so, you're asking us to do something that's really foolish, like preaching to people who won't listen, as Isaiah was called to do. You're asking us to do something completely foolish. All right, we'll do it. We'll show you that you don't know what you're talking about." And so they put out into the deep. And the deep, the place of chaos, they put down their nets. And the fish just come into the nets. And the nets are so full. There's such an abundance of fish. The boat is going to sink. They call over the partners, and their boat's about to sink. And this is when Simon Peter realizes that he is in the presence of the holy. He's in the presence of the divine. And like Isaiah, he says, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called by you. Get away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man," he says. And he's told, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And they bring their boats to the shore, laden with more fish than they've ever caught. And instead of telling Jesus, "Wait until we take care of this catch of fish. Wait until we have all the money so that our partners, our fathers, our family can be cured for," they abandon everything. So Zebedee watches his two sons take off, and Peter, whoever is in partnership with him, will have to take care of this large catch of fish, because these men immediately leave everything that they have and follow Jesus. Jesus, in both cases, asks Isaiah, asks Simon Peter and the rest to do things that seem completely absurd. and yet they do them. Because nowhere in Scripture does it tell us that we need to understand what God is asking us to do. It just tells us we need to be obedient. We need to do it because there's a purpose behind it. There was a purpose behind what Isaiah was called to do, even though it seemed ridiculous. There was a purpose behind what Jesus asked Peter to do. There's a purpose behind what God is calling us to do as well. And yet, do we want to tell God, get away from me? Get away from me, for I'm not worthy to be called by you. Look at what God does when people declare their unworthiness. Instead of turning away, God goes toward them. God goes toward them and uses them. God takes people who are ordinary and does extraordinary things with them. God calls us as well. We may wonder, are you talking to me, God, when I hear this call? I'm not worthy. And God's response is, just do what I'm asking you to do. There's a reason behind what I'm asking you to do. Now, during the course of a week, I usually am reading lots of commentaries, listening to lots of sermons, trying to decide what approach I need to take for this Sunday. What I want to share with you is not a commentary and not a sermon. Instead, it is a post that I saw on a friend's Facebook page. It is by someone named Andrew Homan. He describes something I hadn't heard of before, but perhaps you have. Let me read what he says. On a dark, frozen night in November 1975, a man reluctantly steps to the stage of the Cologne Opera House. That's Cologne, Germany. It is 11 p.m., and 1,400 pairs of eyes are watching as he steps to the piano he does not want. He is bone tired, having just driven from Zurich, Switzerland, earlier in the day, wearing a brace to soothe a sore back. He is hungry, as the restaurant he attended before the show could not get food out to patrons quickly. Nothing has gone right for 2 days. He had just been talked out of canceling the performance an hour earlier, as guests had already started to arrive. Tired, sore, cold, hungry, disappointed, discouraged, poor equipment, in an unfamiliar, divided country in the darkest days of the Cold War. Nobody would have faulted him for walking away from this performance. Instead, he takes his seat and an unfamiliar keyboard. A tuner had just spent hours attempting to repair the out-of-tune, partially broken piano pulled from the basement, where the grand, expensive, exquisite piano he had requested was mistakenly delivered to the wrong place. The keys at the upper and lower ends of the range were only moderately functional, as were the foot pedals. But with eyes watching and eager ears listening, he tentatively raises his hands to the keyboard and begins experimenting with melodies. His rehearsed playlist has been set aside, useless for the instrument he finds himself stuck with. Over the next hour, surrendering to the situation, leaning on years of practice, following stirrings in his heart that work their way to his talented fingers, he plucks and pushes and pounds out one of the most influential musical moments in history, because thankfully, with all else going wrong that evening, the recording equipment functioned perfectly. Keith Jarrett's album, The Cone Concert, recorded on November 24, 1975, became the greatest selling jazz solo and piano album of all time. This concert, which for so many reasons may not have been performed, instead became a testament to skill, improvisation, trust, and the marvelous ability of a man to overcome adversity. The person writing this says, I have neither the musical background nor the vocabulary to adequately describe what takes place on this album, but both the music and story behind it inspire me. Over the course of this hour, he simply sits down and begins exploring, casting aside all plans. Stuck to using the middle keys, he surrenders to the moment, embraces what he has been given, and uses what is present to produce something truly beautiful, allowing the magic to reveal itself. Today, 50 years after this performance, many of us find ourselves in similar challenges. Tired, discouraged, fatigued, wondering if there is a future for a divided country. Sometimes feeling hopeless after nothing has seemed to go right. The eyes of the world watching. It would be easy to walk away, to give up, to resign ourselves at what we had hoped for, what we had planned for, rehearsed, and appreciated had all been swept away. But what if? What if, despite all the discouragement, the disappointment, and the resignation that the beauty we longed for was not for this day, we pushed out the bench, sat down, lifted our hands, and trusted our hearts? Perhaps in this uncertain moment, when the forces of darkness seem so overwhelming, you may just pluck out something beautiful that will surprise you both in its unexpected uniqueness and its power. It is exactly in moments where we find ourselves today, when it seems so grim and improbable, that it is imperative that we lift our hands and try. This is exactly when the soul is most likely to burst forth, but we must surrender to the moment to allow it to come forth. He says, in spite of all that is going on in the world today, pull out the bench, lift your hands, allow the beauty and magic that stir within you to brighten the way for yourself and for a hungry world. Just imagine what we may be able to accomplish together. And so let us pray. Oh Lord, sometimes we hear your voice and we wonder, are you really calling me? Who am I to serve you? And you tell us, as you told Simon Peter, as you told the prophets, do not be afraid. You may not understand. That's all right. Just trust. Just obey. Because, yes, I am talking to you. Amen. So let us join together in our hymn of the day. Here I Am, Lord, number 574. let us together confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the Church, the world, and all of creation.
God of surprising abundance, you call your people to enter deeply into the world. Equip us to respond to your call. Gather up what we have and offer it to all. God of grace.
Hear our prayer. God of creation, provide protection from the elements and other hazards to all whose work brings them outside, for fishers, ranchers, line workers, and construction crews. Guide us to live carefully alongside the wonders of the land and waters. God of grace, hear our prayer.
Open the hearts of all leaders, especially those who serve in the armed forces, that they respond to their commission with wisdom and patience. Ensure that all who serve are kept safe in body, mind, and spirit. We pray for an end to all war and armed conflict. God of grace.
Hear our prayer. Fill with your compassionate presence all who are suffering from addiction, mental illness, injury, or illness of any kind, especially those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Draw helpers to their side so that they find relief from their burdens. God of grace, hear our prayer.
Call our faith communities to do marvelous things. Bless the labor and efforts of this congregation that we may be a sign of your presence in the world. God of grace.
Hear our prayer. We thank you for those who have courageously gone before us in the faith, especially those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. May we, too, show a deep trust in you throughout our lives. God of grace, hear our prayer. We entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise is revealed among the people. Amen. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings. Thank you. joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of the star who shone forth to all nations, in the waters of the Jordan you proclaimed him your beloved Son, and in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join our unending hymn. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, and we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, both now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. Come, eat this meal with us. Lord of the Triune God, bless you with joy and anoint you with compassion and send you in love.
Amen.
Let us join together in our ascending song, Will You Come and Follow Me, number 798.
Thank you.